Sì, quel viaggio di 38 ore.
Had this journey of 38 hours only taken half as long, we would have maybe already arrived at their relative's house and would have been arrested as well. They were saved through an incredible chain of events.
Incredibili. Ci ha distrutto.
We were robbed of the ability to trust. We can't have faith in anyone anymore, not even in authorities when they tell me to stay calm. I won't believe them.
Non ci credo.
In the first episode, we followed Roberto Bassi's family to Rome, which they reached in the very moment their family was being deported to Auschwitz.
Un ragazzino di 12 anni.
This went on for more than a year, in which a child, my father was a 12-year-old boy back then, had to live under a false identity and lie to everyone around him, because otherwise he would have been killed.
Fingere di essere un'altra persona solo per non morire.
Dario Calimani's family has split up. His parents fled to Switzerland, his grandparents stayed in Venice. In this second episode, we continue with their stories. With the German occupation of northern Italy in September 1943, the danger has arrived on the Venetian Jews' doorstep.
Infatti si dice che i pessimisti si sono salvati e gli ottimisti sono finiti ad Auschwitz.
They said the pessimists saved themselves and the optimists ended up in Auschwitz.
On the 5th of December 1943, the first raid of the Jewish ghetto in Venice takes place. This episode begins right there. This is the podcast Reschi's Republik der Venedig Podcast. And we are Petra Reschi and Christopher Weingart. It is Filippo Cordova, the Venetian chief of police, who gives the order. But he is not acting alone. It is said that he had assembled 1,500 men of the Carabinieri, Italian security forces, and members of the fascist party. They roam the city. In the following days, more than 100 Jews are being arrested. That is noteworthy for another reason. In Rome, the German forces had so little trust in their Italian equivalents that they would perform the raid on their own. But the Venetian raid is the first raid in Italy that is solely conducted by Italian forces.
Mio padre mi raccontava che in famiglia abbiamo perso circa 12 persone.
My father told me that my family has lost about 12 people in the Shoah.
E queste persone abitavano ognuna.
These people obviously lived spread out over the entire city.
Abitavano tutti insieme. E chi è andato a cercarli?
And who went to search for them?
Sono stati gli italiani.
The Italians.
The raid on the 5th December isn't the only raid in Venice. The elderly Venetian Jews, amongst them Dario Calimani's grandfather, at first were allowed to stay.
E invece nell'agosto del 44, se non vado errato.
But then in August 44, there was another raid and my grandfather was deported as well.
This second raid takes place on the 17th of August, 1944. And this time, Dario Calimani's grandfather is also among those who are being deported.
Roberto Bassi's family reaches Rome on the 18th of October 1943, the day on which the Roman Jews are being deported to Auschwitz. When the Bassi's train arrives, they see a long train with cattle wagons. They don't know that Roberto Bassi's aunt Alba, his mother's sister, is on this train. Initially, the Bassi's wanted to live with her, but now they arrive in Rome and are left completely on their own.
Quando sono arrivati a Roma e hanno capito che la famiglia era stata portata via.
When they arrived in Rome and realized that their family had been deported, they were able to find a solution that would rescue them all. My father and his sister went to an orphanage where they had to pretend they were Catholic. My father pretended to be an orphan boy and his sister, since she was older, to be a teacher.
Fingere di essere un orfano cattolico. Sua sorella, che è più grande, fa insegnante. E i genitori si nascondono.
The parents were hiding in an apartment, always with forged documents.
E una volta al mese, si incontrano a messa in chiesa.
They could only see each other once a month in a church. They couldn't talk or communicate in any form. One month this appointment did not take place for some unrelated reason. But my father, who showed up alone, feared the worst had happened.
E mio padre pensa che sia successo il peggio invece.
This went on for more than a year, in which a child, my father was a 12-year-old boy back then, had to live under a false identity and lie to everyone around him.
Un bambino, perché mio padre,
because otherwise he would have been killed.
12 anni deve fingere di essere qualcun altro, solo per non morire.
Roberto, his sister and their parents survived the war and the German occupation.
C'è un episodio per me molto bello, molto toccante.
There's one episode of a distant cousin of my father's, a young girl aged 25, and she returned to Venice in a gondola.
Quando loro tornano a casa in gondola.
She struck her hand into the water to feel the water, to feel that she was back home. Because when you feel the water between your fingers, that means you're back in Venice.
Sente l'acqua tra le dita scorrere tra le dita.
Persone, sono tornati.
Out of 254 deported people, 8 have returned.
246 Venetian Jews were murdered throughout the Shoah, roughly 8,000 in Italy. Even after the war had ended, many don't know what had happened to their loved ones. News comes in slowly, and the situation is unclear. Dario Calimani's parents survived the Shoah in Switzerland. Then they return home to Venice.
Quando sono tornati hanno scoperto che il padre di mio padre e la madre di mia madre erano finiti ad Auschwitz.
When my family returned, they found out that my father's father and my mother's mother ended up in Auschwitz.
E la madre di mia madre erano finiti ad Auschwitz. Non si sapeva ancora come, pensavano che potessero tornare.
They didn't know how, but they still held out hope that they might return. When they went to bed at night, they were hoping that maybe tomorrow morning a train would arrive and bring them back. Obviously, that never happened.
The Second World War, and with it the German occupation of northern Italy, ends in 1945. Like the Bassis and the Calimanis, many Jewish families return to Venice. Others stay in the diaspora.
Io sono nato nel 46.
I was born in 1946, and in my childhood...
E la mia infanzia.
Dario Calimani is a force of a man. He is energetic, passionate, determined. Despite being 77 years old, his voice easily fills out the room. But when he talks about his childhood, the emotion overcomes him.
Io ricordo i primi anni, 5, 6 anni, 7 anni, 8 anni, non mi ricordo. Mia madre che piangeva, mio padre che si nascondeva.
I remember the first 5, 6, 7, or 8 years of my life. I don't know. I remember that my mother was always crying.
Dario Calimani is one of the first Jewish children born after the Shoah in Venice. The war might have ended, but the trauma stays.
Io piango i miei nonni che non ho mai conosciuto.
I'm not crying for my grandparents because I've never met them.
Io piango per il dolore di mia madre e di mio padre.
I am crying for my mother's and my father's pain.
Perché li ho visto il loro dolore, l'ho vissuto.
Because I have felt their pain, the pain of the survivors.
In the beginning, nobody really talks about what had happened throughout the Shoah. Dario Calimani's parents tell him that his grandparents were taken away, a euphemism for the deportation. The Shoah survivors returned to Venice. But Calimani explains that even there, they didn't have a home anymore. The Jewish don't dare to ask them about their experiences and about how they had survived. And the Italians were the ones who betrayed them. They might have survived the Shoah, but they have lost their lives anyway.
Cioè, il dettaglio maggiore era la disperazione.
The essence is the desperation, the destroyed families, the murdered people without any cause. Nobody was able to understand why. What have we done?
Cosa hanno fatto?
In the first episode, I have talked about the myth of Italiani brava gente. According to this, the Italians stayed decent even throughout fascism, and the war crimes were only conducted by the Germans. The Italian atrocities are being ignored, like the invasion of Ethiopia in 1937, the racial laws of 1938, the persecution of Croats and Slovenians, or the Italian role in the Shoah. Even when the knowledge about the Shoah slowly enters the collective conscience, people ignore fascism and rather focus on the heroic resistenza, which became the founding myth of the new Italian state.
Adesso, quando parli con le persone, tutte le persone avevano una nonna che ha salvato degli ebrei. Ah, mia nonna ha salvato degli ebrei.
When I talk about the Shoah with anyone today, they all had a grandma who hid Jews. Ah, yes, my grandma was saving Jews. It seems like every grandmother was hiding some Jews somewhere. I'd be much happier if someone would say, my grandfather sold out Jews. Because I think, to have some kind of reconciliation, somebody has to acknowledge, my family is guilty. My family were fascists.
I miei erano fascisti.
The Italian society, which considers itself to be anti-fascist, hardly discusses its own fascist history, despite the fact that fascism is an Italian invention. Many Italians have fought against the Germans in the Resistenza, but at least equally as many were convinced fascist. Saul Bassi, Roberto Bassi's son, tells us about the title of a book which he thinks summarizes the Italian view on these events. It's called Il cattivo tedesco ed il bravo italiano, The Evil German and the Good Italian. This is true in the sense that it was the German Empire which started and enforced the extermination of Jews. But it also needs to be said that anti-Semitism was already alive and well in Italy, and that many Italians, like Venetian Chief of Police Filippo Cordova, actively took part in the persecution of Jews.
Today we witness a situation in Italy in which fascism resurfaces. Of course in a different form, but with similar insignia, with busts of Mussolini and the Roman salute. And that is what pains us the most, that the past was forgotten, discrimination, the loss of freedom and civil rights, and the mistreatment of an entire people, without a cause, without a cause.
Della messa al bando di un intero popolo, per nessun motivo, per nessun motivo.
Roberto Bassi survived the Shoah in Roman exile and returned to Venice afterwards. He is still alive, and today he is 92 years old. I know him from his former career. He was my dermatologist. Due to health reasons, he couldn't talk to us himself, but the memory of his escape still lives on with him. He's one of the last of his generation. With this book, he left his story for future generations, which now have to carry it forward.
Today, the Jewish community in Venice experiences the same issues as the entire city. The population is dwindling between Airbnb and day trip tourists. 2,000 Jewish people used to live in Venice in the beginning of the 20th century. Today, only around 400 remain. But despite this, there is still Jewish life in the ghetto. Most Jews now live spread over the entire island, but for festivities, many still return to the place where 80 years ago, Germans and Italians attacked and deported their ancestors. Despite all the losses and the trauma, the Jewish community of Venice has prevailed.
This was the second episode of our two-piece on the Shoah in Venice. We were Christopher Weingart and Petra Reschi.
Ci ha distrutto la capacità di aver fiducia.
We were robbed of the ability to trust. We can't have faith in anyone anymore, not even in authorities when they tell me to stay calm. I won't believe
them. Neanche nelle autorità che mi dicono stai tranquillo, ti proteggeremo. Non ci credo.